child, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel alone, I'll need the way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, in the prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, in the prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker.
Good morning, Hope Show listeners. How's everybody doing this morning? I'm happy that you've all tuned in today, and I hope you've all had a very blessed week. Today our message is going to be about how to overcome being offended. I'm going to jump right in here this morning. It's going to be a full hour. So, everybody knows what an offense is, right? But just so that we're all on the same page, there's actually several meanings for what that word offense means. But today we're going to be talking about the one where people get offended by what other people say. This particular meaning means to show a lack of politeness, a failure to show regard for others, wounding the feelings of others, and or a violation or breach of law. There are so much more to be said about this, but I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to focus on this particular meaning today. The Bible has a lot to say about offenses. For example, listen to what Matthew 24:10 has to say about it. And then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him who ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. Wow, what does this put you in the mind of today, guys? Don't you feel a lot of that going around in the world today? Doesn't it just sound like what occurs in everyday life? Nothing in life starts big. An offense starts as a thought. And thoughts are seeds that enter your mind. Seeds of offense are the beginning of bigger developments in our lives. But we have the ability to refuse the thought before the offense is fully grown in the gardens of our heart. Offense is a spiritual seed. There are four ways that these seeds can get implanted into us. One way is by what other people have said to us. Some people, all they have grown up hearing is cutting, abrasive words, sarcastic speeches that cut like a knife. The tongue can be a very sharp thing if it's not disciplined. The second way is what others did not say to us. A person can be offended because they didn't feel appreciated. Maybe no one ever says thank you or compliments your efforts. A third way, what others did to us. Negative actions and or reactions. Selfish actions and humiliating experiences can cause the seed of offense to germinate in our hearts. What people didn't say, and the fourth thing, can be what people didn't do for us. And perhaps that means like a favor or assistance that we did not receive. These seeds can produce roots of bitterness. In Hebrews 12:15, the Bible tells us, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Another thought, folks, is bad weeds grow up to produce the fruit of resentment. Once those seeds are planted in us and left to germinate in our heart, bitterness will come forth from us in things that we say or do to other people. This happens in two ways. what we say. People who are influenced by bitterness in their hearts are usually more critical and aggressive. These people are generally more apt to judge everyone around them. If you want to live emotionally healthy lives, then we must get rid of the bitterness and the resentment in our own lives. And the second way that this can happen is what we do. People who are controlled by their emotions don't always respond very well with how they act and react to other people. I'm sure you've all known people like that. And they certainly are not living with very fruitful lives either. To live a fruitful life, there are 9 attributes. These are better known as the 9 fruits of the Spirit. There is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For those of you out there that have been offended at some point in your life, and we all have, there's just no way about round avoiding all that. How many feel like showing any of these attributes, though, when someone has said or done something to hurt your feelings? I know I don't always feel like spreading joy or peace or patience or kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Somebody's hurt my feelings, I get a little bent about that sometimes. But I try not to. We all come up against stumbling blocks in our lives. That's what Satan does. He throws something out there to purposely trip you up to see if you will fall for the bait. And so many of us do. All I'm saying is be selective about your battles, folks. Don't allow yourself to be easily offended. Decide that you're not going to let anything come between you and your peace and your joy. Folks, life is too short to live bitter and resentful. At all costs, try to stay in peace. It's like driving down the road with no spare tire. If something happens to your tire and you don't have a spare tire to replace it with, then what? What are you going to do, folks? You're going to be stuck on the side of the road. It's the same concept with letting bitterness and resentment drive your life without having a solid foundation, the Word of God. How are you going to fight off the darkness of this world if you aren't fully equipped with the proper tools to fix the problem? Ask yourself. When you find yourself in that situation, if I win this battle, what have I truly accomplished? If you win this battle, what did you lose in the process? Because sometimes, folks, winning the battle isn't as important as keeping the peace. And sometimes, if you continue to go after that battle and try to win, there are things to be lost in the process. So ask yourself, if you win this battle, what have you truly accomplished, and what will you lose? Will it be worth losing something in return for winning the battle? In some of the verses I read earlier, Jesus makes it plain that we will have opportunities to become offended in our life. But when we offend others or are offended ourselves, then the offense hinders our ability. It then becomes the stumbling block that I spoke of earlier, where Satan will throw things out there to try to trip you up to see if you're going to take the bait. But it will hinder our ability to do what God wants us to do. For example, when someone becomes offended by another person, they oftentimes withdraw from that person. And if needed, would not reach out to that person if they truly did need help. How about a neighbor or someone that you thought was a friend? If you got offended with them and you were hurt, and then something really big came up and they really, really needed you, would you turn your back on them just because they may have said or done something to hurt you? Or would you be the bigger person and go help them anyway because it's the right thing to do? Although the world might say that the person is justified in not reaching out to that person who hurt us, that is not God's way, folks. You know it, I know it, Everybody knows it. Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit for a moment. Let me ask you folks, are there any of you out there today that would be honest enough to admit to being easily offended? Are you that person that maybe gets your feelings hurt a lot, or maybe more so than the average person? Is that just your makeup? Perhaps you're feeling offended by someone's actions or comments right now. Let me give you an example of a scenario. A friend comes over to your house and says, "Boy, I can sure tell you don't dust your furniture as often as you should. Wow, would that bother you?" Maybe it would depend upon who said it and how they said it. My first thought would be, how rude. You have to choose your battles, though, in life, folks. But if it was a really good friend of mine that said that, I probably wouldn't be too bothered by it. But, like I said, you have to choose your battles in life. Maybe that one comment would make you feel like calling it quits on a friendship. I've known people that are like that. But despite the immediate urge to do so, perhaps a better way to respond would be to be with a smile, say, "You know what? You're right. I didn't get around to dusting this week. I've been very busy." I would call this the hold your peace moment, folks. Ask yourself if this incident is truly significant in your life. Generally, when you think of it in terms of this, like this, maybe it doesn't merit becoming so offended after all. Maybe you could take a deep breath, letting it out, slowly tell yourself to move on. How about changing the subject? That's kind of been a favorite of mine. Let's just change the subject, relax, and just get over it. But there's also another way you could do it, too. How about communicating? How about telling that person, "Hey, you know, I didn't really like what you just said. That kind of hurt my feelings." But oftentimes, we don't do that. Oftentimes, we don't confront people when someone has hurt our feelings or said or done something. We tend to bottle it up, and we tend to store it away and let it fester in us until it gets to be something even bigger. And then it's even harder to take care of. It takes plenty of practice to be the bigger person and just move on, or to confront the person and try to work it out. It also takes the realization that getting over it isn't about letting the offender off the hook, but it is about not being offended in the first place. The more you take offense at what someone says or does to you, the more you will store up bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness in your heart. It will rob you of all of what God has in store for your life. After all, it is not your job to be judge and jury. That's God's job. There will come a day where each of us will come before God to atone for our sins, and He will take care of them appropriately as He deems fit. That is not our job, folks. It one day occurred to me, after being offended by someone who had said and done something that really bothered me, that the offender wasn't in the least bit suffering or feeling miserable over what they had said or done at all. They probably didn't even know or even care how I felt, honestly. They were going on with life as if not a care in the world. And just like that, it finally dawned on me that the only one being hurt by my unwillingness to let it go, to let go of the bitterness and the unforgiveness and the resentment that I held in my heart for that individual, was me. They were still going about their life happy. I was the one miserable. I was the one not willing to move on or let it go. But afterward, when the reality of my situation caught up with me, I felt really foolish for having let that individual take over so much control of my life. I was in bondage to that. I had put myself there. You know, nobody else did that to me, and not even the person who offended me did that to me. I did that to myself. by continuing to dwell upon it. I had allowed the devil to do an ugly work in me. It's easy to let your life revolve around offenses. I have known friends and family who have spent many, many years estranged from loved ones over offenses. And you know what? Sometimes, years and years and years down the road, people lose sight and forget what the offense was. They just know that something happened and they don't want to be around that person, or they don't want to talk to that person. But, you know, when years and years pass, I've known some people, even in my own family, that couldn't tell you what the offense was to begin with, but they carried it through their life. I have found myself there a time or two. I have allowed offenses in my life to make life-altering decisions based on others' thoughtless remarks or actions. But now, through the God who strengthens me, I have moved on. I have forgotten about it. I have forgiven those who have done things that hurt me. And you know, one of the things that helps me to get over things like that is I always ask God in my prayers every morning to show me or give me the same, allow me to give the same grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness to other people that God gives to me every day. And when you think of that, when you really think of that, think about what that means. You know, we're all flawed, and nobody in this world is perfect. And there's only one of us, folks. There's not one single person out there that is identical to us, that has our same makeup, that has our same personality, thoughts, feelings, emotions, circumstances. And don't we, every day, fail someone? No matter how hard we try. Maybe we might go some days without hurting somebody's feelings. We try to. Maybe we go, you know, maybe we don't hurt people's feelings very often. But when we do, it doesn't make it any less wrong. And every day, every morning is a fresh new day that God gives us. And it's what we do with that day that counts. And God gives us fresh new mercy, grace, love, and forgiveness every single day. And throughout the day, you may do something wrong. Say, Lord, forgive me for that. I know that was bad. God will forgive you. And there you go, a fresh new start. No matter what time of the day or night. And so, folks, if we are to be like Christ, then that is part of it. If God can show us that type of unconditional love and forgiveness and grace and mercy time after time, day after day, perhaps several times a day when we mess something up, then why? What makes us any better? Why can't we try to do that to our fellow brothers and sisters? And so that always helps me out when I think about, you know, maybe something that somebody said or done, you know. Pray for them. Maybe they didn't even know that they said something to offend you. But all the same, just kind of remember, folks, that no one's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody's perception is different. So, anyway, on with that, on with the show. It's a proven fact that people too often push our buttons, isn't that right? Hurt our feelings and treat us disrespectfully. Sometimes it's not even intentional, like I said before. The hard part is asking God to help discipline us to overcome that flesh nature in us that wants to strike out against that person. and to wait for God to help us through that moment. And I can't say that even then you might not be in for a bumpy ride, because, you know, sometimes the way you may want God to handle something isn't His plan for helping something in the same way that you would like to see it resolved for your life. You might feel things more pronounced while God is remolding, transforming you into a new creation. Growing pains can sometimes be very painful. But I assure you that as God transforms you into something better, He will also launch you into the next chapter of your life. And I think that is really cool, folks. And so I'm going to say that again. Think about that. While God is molding you and transforming you into something better, He is also launching you into the next chapter of your life. So while you're thinking about that for a moment, I'm going to stop here and we're going to take a short break. And this first song that I'm going to play is from The Inside Out by Hillsong, and the second one is Overcomer. And Overcomer is by Mendissa.
Remains. you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord.
Welcome back to the Hope Show, folks. I was visiting with May and Redempty over here on the chat lines, and I enjoyed visiting with them for a moment, and I have some of Shaziz's other chat lines open, and so feel free, anyone who wants to message me, I do see them, and I appreciate them. They are of great encouragement. So if you're just tuning in, today's message is about overcoming being offended. I encourage you that if you're just tuning in now, that you go back and listen to the entire podcast after the show once the podcast has been uploaded to my Hope Show Returns on shaziz.net. Is there a time in anyone's life out there where they've been hurt by someone who is insensitive or angry? Yes, of course. We all have at one point or another. And our minds are a battlefield. And to say that is an understatement. But this doesn't have to be the end of our story. We can't control other people. But we can control how we react or respond to their words or their deeds. And we can also... we have control over the way, you know, that we respond to other people. And what I mean is, you know, the way that we treat other people. You know, not only can we respond to their words or their deeds, but we can also make sure that we are being careful as to what we say or do to other people also, that they might construe as offensive. In Ecclesiastes 7:21, the Bible tells us, "Also, do not take to heart everything people say." In verse 20, the Bible says, "Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins." Gosh, folks, I love the Bible because, you know, it's the instruction manual for any of our questions. There's an answer if you look deep enough. And these verses just really speak to you, don't they? It is all too human to slip into a problem of gossiping and slandering someone behind his or her back. We should strive to overcome these human tendencies just as much as should our fellow brothers and sisters. No one has gone through life without giving in to these weaknesses at some time in our life. But because this world is unknowingly following Satan, the present ruler of the world, unfortunately, folks, it is my belief that these situations are going to continue to get worse. The Apostle Paul said that the last days would be times of violence. We sure see a lot of that around, don't we? We're just bombarded with it, you know, at every turn. You know, you go outside your house, you go to work, you listen to the radio, you turn on the TV. This world seems to be all about violence right now. And so, it also goes to say, though, that many people would be brutal in conduct, without self-control, and despisers of those who try to do what is right. And I believe we're seeing all of that to pass right now. We must try to handle ourselves in a way without using anger and or revenge. That doesn't solve anything, folks. And if you think it does, then if you've done that yourself, if you sought revenge, how well did that work out for you? It only makes the problem worse for you and for everyone else around you. If this is going on in your workplace, your church, your family, other people tend to get caught in the crossfires, and oftentimes more people get hurt. And they are made to feel like they have to choose sides. Have you ever thought about that? So that's not fair to anyone either, right? In Matthew 5:9, it clearly states, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Can I say it? Have an amen, folks? If anybody's out there listening, can I have an amen? In Matthew 5:9, it clearly states, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." I'm going to ask you folks today, are you doing everything in your power to be a peacemaker, a solution to the problem, or are you being part of the problem? Are you keeping the problem going, or are you trying to resolve it in a peaceful manner? Jesus said that if we are patient and merciful to others, God will be patient and merciful to us. And it is the humble or the meek who in time will be the ones who will inherit the earth. So now we are toward the halfway mark. Actually, we're over at the halfway mark of our hour together. And I want to give you some more food for thought. As I said earlier, we all have plenty of opportunities to get stressed out, angry, offended. But what are you really doing? You know, but what you're really doing is giving something or someone, an outsider, an outside influence, power over your own happiness. Did you realize that? Have you guys given that any thought? But you can choose to respond in a different way. The enemy is looking around trying to devour anyone that he can get his hands on. The more you allow situations to rob you of peace, joy, and happiness, the more you are opening yourself up for further attack. Offense is a foul trick of the devil, folks. Never give place to the enemy. Never. Keep your guard up for such things so that you won't fall for the stumbling blocks. In James 3:16, I'm reminded, "For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind." Offense is an act of stumbling, and it will cause you to break your focus. Then you are no longer about where you're going, but rather the immediate desire to keep from stumbling. And that is where you take the bait that Satan has set out before you. Offense is a devil-contrived trap to make you stumble. But here are a few things that I'd like to share with you today that you can help yourself, that you can do to help yourself. The first thing, you can remain calm. Have you ever heard the old expression, if someone offends you, don't get mad, get even? No, no, no. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Don't do that. That's the world's solution to handling everything these days. And you can see how well that has worked out. God doesn't want you to seek revenge. Let God take care of that in His own time and in His own way. Pray over the person who said or did something to hurt you. How about trying this? Just try to move on. Get past it. The most appropriate, though, response is to try to diffuse the issue and minimize what the enemy is trying to accomplish. Sometimes that's hard to do, but it is the appropriate response. And the second thing that you can do for yourself is love them anyway. You might be saying to yourself right now, I can't. Yes, you can. It's a choice. Love them anyway. If someone offends you, your response should be the opposite of hate. It should be to love them. In Proverbs 10:12, it says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." Here's a question for you. If love has covered our sins, shouldn't we be willing to allow it to cover the sins of others without trying to expose them in any way? Here's a third thought. Here's something maybe that you can also can help to do for yourself. Perception determines reality. That's a big one, folks, really, if you think about it. Perception determines reality. In your mind, or theirs, you or they may not have done anything to hurt anyone, but the other doesn't see it that way. The best way to solve the problem is to try to talk it out. Remember, though, sometimes people can be unreasonable, illogical, self-centered, and that includes us, folks. That's not just the other person. That also includes us. Forgive them anyway. Be kind anyway. God shows us grace and mercy and love and forgiveness over and over and over throughout the day, day after day. Are we so much better than the next fella that they don't deserve the same consideration as we do? So here's a fourth thing that you can help do for yourself. Overlooking an offense. When you overlook an offense, that actually makes you the winner. You know the difference between right and wrong, folks. You know the difference between good and evil. In Proverbs 19:11, the Bible says, "Smart people know how to hold their tongue." Boy, I love the Bible, folks. I could not make this up. I couldn't make this stuff up. It is there in the Bible. If you haven't read the Bible, you know, I'm not trying to be a Bible pusher today, but Lord, I tell you, it's got some amazing stuff in it. Some amazing instruction for our lives. It's got the answer to all of your questions. It's all there. So, anyway, once again, in Proverbs 19:11, the message Bible says, "Smart people know how to hold their tongue." Boy, I should have read that a few times in my past life. I still need to continue to be reminded of that sometimes. But sometimes, folks, you have to be the better person and overlook some things. That doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat for someone. But can I say this out loud to you? Use some common sense. And this is kind of an awkward, it's kind of a tongue twizzler, but bear with me. I'll read it slowly. You don't know what they think they know. Let me say that again. You don't know what they think they know. So if you've ever known someone to give you a cold shoulder and you have no idea why, you're left playing 20 questions in your mind about what's going on, what you've done. Folks, let me tell you something. There will be times in your life when people will act in certain ways, but not because of anything you have done. Sometimes people have their own selfish motives or hidden agendas. So, if you don't know when, why, or how how you offended someone else, might I suggest that you just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. And here's the last thought for the day. Offense hurts you more than it does anybody else. If you have an offense against someone, God will not hear your prayers, folks. As I said earlier, if you can't show the same grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love that to someone else that God shows us, do you really think that He's going to listen to you when you ask for help? It becomes a stumbling block between you and God. So keep that in mind. The Bible is quite clear that if you don't have forgiveness in your heart, then how are you supposed to make it right between you and God? Here's another thought to leave with you today. Taking offense at something or someone is really a reflection of the depth of our character. Had you really thought of that? That's something to say again. It's really a depth or a reflection of our own character. And when we are able to overlook an offense, it further builds our own character. Folks, be quick to forgive. Confess your faults to one another. Apologize. Pray for one another. Be slow to talk. Be slow to show anger. Rash behavior complicates things. So, folks, I'm going to end in a prayer today. So, here we go. Lord, thank you that we are created in your image. Thank you that we find our identity in you. Thank you, Lord, that it is only your word and your opinion that matter. Lord, give us ears to hear. Help us not to be easily offended or easily angered. Help us to lay down these offenses to which we are currently holding on to. Let us live in the freedom of your love and your forgiveness. Lord, help us to live not in our own flesh, but supernaturally in the fullness of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. Folks, I hope all of you have enjoyed today's message as much as I have enjoyed being here with you. Until next week, same time, same place, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in today, folks.
You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here moving in a mist. I worship you. I worship you.
The answer to it all. Put your hit the mark.
When love-